Paul Bowles, an expatriate American author who lived most of his life in Morocco, so that's the guy you were talking about, who did the translation. Let's talk a little bit about your tour to the United States. How did it all come about? And I know this is probably going to be a long answer, but tell us about the different places you visited and some of your impressions of what you've seen so far, your first time to the U.S.
Yeah, it's the trip is still going on. So I was going at the beginning. I did not know that this will happen, but I'll always be ready to be on the road. This is my own belief. So at the beginning, I was invited to give a paper at the University of Las Vegas, and I applied for this visa for 2 weeks, and I ended up getting a 10-year visa to the States. So I thought this will be a good opportunity to meet all my American friends, poets, writers, novelists, artists, generally speaking, people interested in the les belles lettres, as the French would call them. So I ended up contacting my friends in different states, telling them that I will be on the road this summer in the States, and asking them if they would like to invite me to give a reading or a talk on topics having to do with my own PhD dissertation, which is a comparative study of the Beats and Moroccan writers of late 50s and 60s. So I started from New York, where I gave a reading with the American established poet Bob Holman, who invited me to read at the Bowery Poetry Club. So that was the starting point for this trip. I've read there my own translations of Ginsberg into Arabic, and basically I read A Supermarket in California and America. Next day, during the same week I spent there in New York, I also Had the great delight and honor of visiting and meeting Allen Ginsberg's trust agent Peter Hill, who invited me to Ginsberg's apartment, who took time to discuss with me intricate issues relating to Ginsberg's intimate life, his own travels, his own writings, and he also took time to listen to the issues or the arguments that I'm trying to make in my own PhD dissertation. He showed me the archives, he showed me everything which Ginsberg left behind, and he gave me two bags of Ginsberg's writings, his journals, his letters with Kerouac, his letters with Burroughs, his anthologies, his own translations, and all the necessary material which would keep me busy for the five coming years. So yes. So that's exactly what happened. I told him, this will keep me busy for 5 years that I'm working on this PhD dissertation. And then, yes, I took a bus from there, from Penn Station, to East Orange in New York, in New Jersey, where I met my friend, the emeritus professor from Rutgers University, Louis Crew, who is also a poet, who invited me to his place, and he took time to show me around. He took me to visit Allen Ginsberg's hometown, Newark. He took me to Pedersen. He also took me to visit Ginsberg's grave in, I don't remember quite the name of the cemetery. So he took care of me and he showed me around. And he is also someone who is deeply interested in literature, in poetry, and he has been writing for the last, I think, 40 or 50 years. And from there, I took a bus from Newark Station to Altoona in Pennsylvania, where I had a reading with two professors of African literature at the University of Pennsylvania in Altoona. We gave our readings at Palmer Museum of Arts. And I also had the great pleasure of visiting my friends, two professors also working at Pennsylvania University, Beth Seymour and Victor Driessen, took me to visit the Amish, which was a very special experience in my life, because I thought the States is a very urban kind of developed, nation, country, and that they have moved away from small villages, from the mountains, all of them. But it was a good experience to see the Amish and to be introduced to their own culture. And from there, I took a bus from Altoona to all the way to Boulder, and I went through different like cities and states. I went through Pittsburgh. I went through Cleveland, Ohio, Chicago, Southern Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and then Omaha, Nebraska, and from there changed the bus from Greyhound bus to Trailwise bus, and I ended up in Denver, where I took a bus to Boulder. In Boulder, I spent a week at the University of Naropa, because I've been awarded Immigrant Burger Scholarship to participate in this creative writing program at Jack Kerouac School of Disembodied Poetics. And I had the great pleasure and honor of meeting a very distinguished faculty and writers and poets and artists and other students from different states. And I had the great honor and pleasure of reading with Anne Waldman and Ambrose Bay, and meeting Thurston Moore and other poets in Boulder. I read my own poems and translations of Ginsberg with Anne Waldman and Ambrose Bay, who improvised on the piano. And next day we had the opportunity to visit and go to hike in the Rocky in the mountains. Next stop was at Shambhala Mountain Center, where I gave a reading with some friends and some students who were also taking time just to think and meditate and study Buddhism at Shambhala Mountain Center. I've read my poems next to Ginsberg's and Orlovsky's ashes in Shambhala Mountain Center, with the designer of Ginsberg's grave, Joshua Mueller. And from there, I flew to I went to Denver to meet my friend, the publisher, poet, and editor Michael Ennis, who's running the Howling Dog Press. We had the great time discussing until 3 o'clock in the morning different issues relating to translation, American poetry, contemporary poetry, and he suggested many artists, many poets to translate. And from Denver, I flew to Portland, which I enjoyed very much, and I made a bunch of friends there. And from Portland to Seattle, where I ended up meeting my friend, you, Paul Nelson, where I had the great honor and pleasure of giving a series of readings in different venues and talks in different venues, like Spring Street Culture Center, reading at Wedgwood L's Cafe, and I met other poets through my friend Paul, like Peter Monroe, and can you remind me, please? I forgot all the names.
Well, there's Peter Monroe there, and Jared Lysing was there, and Aaron Kokorowski, and Dennis Mayer, translator of Chinese poetry, and Jed Myers, who runs the readings in the North End, And you met your friend Amy, who visited, who you met at Naropa.
Yeah, sure. Amy was also there, and she was present during my week there at Naropa, and she attended one of my readings with Anne Waldman and Ambrose Bay and Thurston Moore and others. So, yes, it is indeed an epic trip, a travel. This is an experience which I thought would never happen, but I'm here, and I'm really enjoying it. And yesterday, we started our own adventure heading to North Cascades. Today we are here in Desolation Peak. We managed to get here after six hours. I thought it's just 3 hours,
I mean the drive here.
Okay, the drive.
The drive here is a little over 3 hours, but The hike was twice that, coming up to Desolation Peak. Things that you've seen in Seattle, the Pike Place Market, the graves of Jimi Hendrix and Bruce Lee and Brandon Lee and Denise Levertov, and then meeting Sam Hamill. Tell us about your...
Yeah. Meeting Sam Hamill was a very special experience. I've been reading about his own writings, and I've been introduced to his own poetry, which I admired very much right from the beginning, through my Italian-American friend Pina Piccolo, who translated some of his poems into Italian, and she gave me, just before I left Morocco, she gave me two anthologies which she translated, and my friend Sam Hamill was one of the people featured there, one of the people whose poems appeared there in these two anthologies. Meeting Sam Hamill is a life-changing experience itself, because he's someone who is very experienced. I admire his writings. He showed me, you know, Habitations, a special artistic work of art, which I've never seen, made of different, a concoction of different things. And he took time also to read some of his poems inscribed on this artistic work. And he took the time also to talk about his own standpoints as someone who is politically engagé, writing poems which took very clear stances, political stances towards what's going on in the world, basically war in Palestine, in North Africa, in anywhere in the world. He also took the time to introduce me to sushi. So Sam Hamill was the first poet who took the time to introduce me to sushi, and he knows about the deep, intricate rituals. So I really enjoyed this opportunity, which I got through my own friend and poet, interviewer, and teacher, Paul Nelson. So, yeah.
We have tape of you reading, so, you know, we can refer to that, or there will be links on the website for people to hear you read with the Jim O'Halloran Quintet, which you did at Bradner Gardens on Saturday night, and at the Wedgwood Ale House. Well, hopefully that audio came out okay, and we'll have audio of that available online. You wrote a poem, Kerouacian Epiphanies in the Portland Greyhound Bus Station. So, without reading the poem, since I don't think you brought it up here, tell us a little bit about how that experience unraveled and the fact that it takes you basically 10 minutes to write a poem. I mean, you usually write it in one blast and then don't edit it but move on to the next one. Talk to us about those two things.
Yeah. So the Kerouacian Epiphanies in a Portland Greyhound bus station was one of my latest poems. And it came my own one night walk experience in Portland. I've had the opportunity to meet people there while sitting in the Greyhound bus station, and because I had a misunderstanding, maybe, which is not necessary to bring here, with a poet also there. I just thought this will be something good for change. So I put my stuff in a locker in Portland Greyhound bus station. And while doing this, I started a conversation with an African-American woman who must be, she said she's 64 years old, and she was also putting her stuff, her clothes and everything, in a locker. And we started talking about, you know, Portland and what she thinks about life. And she said, I said, I'm heading to Seattle. And she said, she's from Seattle. And that's how we started this conversation. So, I thought she's just someone who is putting her stuff there in the locker, but I discovered later on that she is a homeless, an African-American homeless in her 60s who roams the streets of Portland at night. This affected me deep inside. This touched me deep inside, and I started thinking about this, and I didn't want to let her go on her nocturnal kind of trip, you know, in Portland. So I thought this will be something good for change. I took her two bags and I started walking with her all night long the streets of Portland. And this night long walk inspired this poem, which in fact tries to summarize my whole experience, my almost 1 week experience of Portland and Oregon, generally speaking. So I wrote this poem in which I think I've tried to criticize certain cultural prototypes present in Portland as a city which is known for its own highly conscious, high consciousness of ecology, of environment, of everything, of the highly valued, you know, concepts nowadays in our own life as people, you know, thinking so much and deeply about their own conditions in this world. So I wrote the poem and I've tried to trace everything which is associated with Portland. So I mentioned the idea of Portlandia. I also talked.
How did you find out about Portlandia in the first place?
I think I've read something about it. You know, there is a very famous like cereal. You know, like I don't remember there is a cereal, a very famous cereal. Something like Portlandia. I used to watch this, and because I'm also interested in cycling and, you know, mountain biking, I've been reading things about Portland, but when I got there, this experience with the homeless people in Portland produced and inspired this poem, and it was a kind of criticism, an indirect kind of criticism to the idea of Portlandia. The vegan underwear, you know, the girls wearing their vegan underwear, walking late in the evening, you know, the, you know, crossing all their own bridges, Burnside Bridge, you know. I talked about the, you know, the erotic kind of confluence between, you know, rivers there, Willamette and what's the name of
Columbia
the
River.
On Columbia River. I also tried to depict the actual and immediate maybe conception of what it means to be in Portland. Maybe I am a stranger, someone who comes all the way from Morocco. I'm looking at things in a different way. But this, I realized that my own poem about Portland is in fact something that all the people wanted to hear because they live this on a daily basis, but they don't think about it consciously. They don't take time to think about everything, and this is very ironical.